West Valley City Police closed their investigation into the disappearance of Susan Cox Powell. Utah's suburban poverty rates are on the rise, and the group Mormons Building Bridges plans for a bigger presence in this year's Pride Parade. You're listening to the KUER News Pod for Tuesday, May 21st. I'm Brian Grimmett. West Valley City Police are closing the investigation into Susan Cox Powell's disappearance, but authorities say they will continue to pursue any credible leads should they arise. Susan Powell was last seen at her West Valley City home in December of 2009. KUER's Whitney Evans reports.
West Valley City Police say there are no further active leads in the disappearance of Susan Powell. Throughout the investigation that lasted more than 3 years, police zeroed in on a number of people, including Susan's father-in-law, Steve Powell, Susan's brother-in-law, Michael Powell, and Susan's husband, Josh Powell, who, according to West Valley City Police, is the last person to have seen Susan.
We are confident that Josh was definitely involved in her disappearance.
West Valley Deputy Police Chief Mike Powell says investigators firmly believe Michael Powell was also involved in the disappearance.
The circumstances surrounding that are still unknown at this time.
But without a body and only circumstantial evidence, Powell says West Valley City Police were unable to move forward with an arrest. Kiersey Hellowell is a friend of Susan Powell's. She says she doesn't believe West Valley City Police are giving up.
Obviously, logically, there's a limited amount of money and a limited amount of resources. You can't investigate a case like this full-time forever, but it's hard, and I'd hope this day wouldn't come so soon.
Hellowell says she's looking forward to finally seeing the documents relating to Powell's case that were sealed during the investigation. West Valley Police released tens of thousands of pages of documents following the press conference on Monday. The announcement to call off the search follows a horrific string of events, including the murder-suicide of Susan's husband, Josh Powell, and her two sons, Braden and Charlie, in Washington last year, and the suicide death of Josh Powell's brother, Michael, in Minneapolis in February of this year. Whitney Evans, KUER News.
Poverty in U.S. suburbs is on the rise, but especially in Utah. A new book released Monday shows that the number of people living in suburbs below the federal poverty line has more than doubled in three major metropolitan areas in Utah over an 11-year span. In fact, the Salt Lake City area ranked number 3 in the nation for fastest growth in suburban poverty. KUER's Andrea Smartin reports.
The Brookings Institution is out with a new book called Confronting Suburban Poverty in America. The research shows that between 2000 and 2011, suburban poverty rose 64%, more than twice the growth rate of cities. Lead author Elizabeth Kneebone says the suburbs of three Utah metro areas ranked among the book's top 15 in terms of fastest growing poverty.
The three metropolitan areas within Utah that we looked at in this research are Salt Lake City, Ogden, and Provo. In each case, the suburban poor population more than doubled in just over the span of 11 years.
Kneebone couldn't say why Utah would stand out in this way, but she says suburban poverty is generally driven by the growth of low-wage jobs and affordable housing in suburbs, and lower-income residents being priced out of urban cores. She says in order to address poverty, it's important to understand where it is and who it's affecting.
The landscape of poverty in America has changed dramatically in recent years, but our perceptions and our policies for how we address it haven't kept pace. So if we want to make sure that whether a resident lives in the city or the suburbs, they have access to services, to education, to job opportunities, we need to be aware of how these trends are moving within regions and adapting our systems and policies to address this issue region-wide.
The book recommends the federal government offer a competitive grant program that states could use to improve opportunities across metropolitan areas for housing, education, transportation, and jobs. Andrea Smartin, KUER News.
Democratic State Representative Angela Romero is among the Utahns taking the SNAP challenge this week. SNAP is the government acronym for what used to be called food stamps. The program provides about $28 a week per person. And Romero says her shopping list for the week consists mostly of ramen noodles, rice, and frozen meals.
Not all people have access to healthy food, and just by living off of $28 for this week, I'm realizing that I had to compromise on what I could buy and what I couldn't.
Romero represents Utah House District 26, which has the highest number of people who use social services in the state. Prior to being elected to the legislature, Romero says she once lived in public housing and received food stamps herself. She notes while the program is meant to supplement a family's grocery expenses, they often find it's their only source of food.
After people pay their housing, energy, healthcare expenses, just putting gas in the car or using public transportation, sometimes that leaves them little or no money to spend on food. And so without this supplemental service, I think we'd have a lot more families go hungry.
Gerald Brown, the executive director of the Utah Department of Workforce Services, is also taking the SNAP challenge. Brown and Romero will talk about their experiences taking the challenge following a free screening of A Place at the Table, a documentary about hunger in the United States. The screening is Tuesday, May 28th at the Broadway Theater. Last year, it was Mormons marching in their Sunday best that attracted attention during Utah's Pride Parade. This year could be Mormons wearing scout uniforms. Corey Howard with the group's Mormons Building Bridges says there are likely to be even more Latter-day Saint marchers than the 300 or so who participated last year, and she wouldn't be surprised if they showed up wearing those scout uniforms.
If you're gay, bisexual, transgender, it shouldn't matter to be involved in scouting. The principles hold true, and so anyone who's been in the program has benefited, and everyone has something to contribute. And if they're visible in the parade, people will realize just how much that vote would affect, how many people that affect.
The leadership of the Boy Scouts of America will vote this week on a policy that would admit gay scouts but not gay adult leaders. The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is the largest sponsor of Boy Scout troops in the country. Utah's Pride Parade is planned for downtown Salt Lake on Sunday, June 2nd.
The funeral for Frances Monson will be held Thursday at noon in the Tabernacle on Temple Square. The wife of LDS Church President Thomas S. Monson died last Friday. Her daughter, Ann Dibb, says her mom was a hardworking woman who simply did what needed to be done with little fanfare. Wasatch Wind, a Utah-based company that develops wind energy projects, is asking for more time to build a project near Douglas, Wyoming. It's asking for 10 more months to demonstrate it has the funding for the project. The company won a lawsuit with the Northern Laramie Range Alliance in the Wyoming Supreme Court last year, but company president Christine Mickle says the legal battle has slowed the project. And finally, Governor Gary Herbert has asked Thurl Bailey to be the state's refugee ambassador. Bailey played with the Utah Jazz in the 1980s and had a 12-year career in the NBA. Bailey will act as a liaison between the governor's office and the 50,000 refugees who live in Utah. They include families from Iraq, Burma, Somalia, and Bhutan, as well as many other countries. And that is your KUER News Pod for Tuesday, May 21st. For the latest news and updates from around the state, visit us online at KUER.org or follow us on Twitter at KUER News. Until next time, I'm Brian Grimmett.